sing
well,
me
there we
a
go.
song of a lass that is gone. Say, could that lass be I? Mary of Soul, she sailed on a day over the sea to sky.
Welcome to the Outlander Gab on the
Spindle
air.
And breeze, islands and sea, mountains
third
of rain and
second
sun.
Episode. I'm getting myself all confused. So we've got a little bit of a different lineup today, so let's introduce ourselves. I'm Erin. I'm the senior editor for 3fbyspace.net, and I write about Outlander. What a surprise! So let's say hi to my co-host. Say hi, Sam.
Hello.
And instead of Allison tonight, who didn't feel like she could manage it since she hasn't seen the episodes yet, we have our good friend Coco Pipkin. Say hi, Coco.
Hello, everyone.
There we go. So we've got some things to tell you tonight. We're going to talk about episode 602. We're going to encourage you to call in so that we don't talk to ourselves all evening. We're going to try to keep it to an hour. We'll see how that goes. We don't always make it. So we had a bunch of interviews this week and a bunch of new videos and some photos of Sam that have kind of bowled us away. Did you guys see any of these, Coco and Sam? Did you see the InStyle stuff yet?
I saw the Sam actually put in his Instagram stories a repost of the stories that one of the magazines had done, and it was phenomenal. It was I don't remember which of the magazines. It was the Gentleman's Journal.
Yes,
did you see
those?
Those
are great.
Yeah,
those
pictures are phenomenal.
Yeah. And then the InStyle photos are really good. And then they do a video series on YouTube called This Guy, and Sam's This Guy came out this morning. And it's really just a bunch of questions, and then he answers them, and it was a lot of fun. There was also an interview with the new intimacy coordinator, and she talked about working with Cesar and Lauren on that scene, and I know we want to talk about that scene a little later, but if you have a chance, you can find links to it just about everywhere, but it's from TVLine.com. And it was really an interesting interview. We'll talk a little bit about the things that were in it when we talk about that scene. Then right before we went on air, there was a new video from IMDb. Oops. And yeah, Ron Moore. Thank you. You could be quiet. With Sam and Katrina answering questions, like who would you like to see play an older Jamie and older Claire? And that their answers were interesting. What do you guys think? Who would play an older Jamie and an older Claire?
Oh goodness, I don't know.
I need more lead time to answer that question.
Well, you know, when I was reading it, who I always thought would have been a good Claire, and now her name just escaped me. She's the actress who was in Titanic.
Kate Winslet. Yeah.
I always thought that she would have been a good Claire. So now that she's older, she couldn't play Claire, but she can play older Claire, maybe. But she's shorter now compared to Katrina.
In my head, yep. Whenever I read about Claire, going back to the year 2000, when I first did it, for some reason, I always had, her name just escaped me. Not Diane Cannon, but somebody else, the woman has super curly hair. Bridget. Now I've totally blanked it.
I always had Rachel Weisz as my is my Claire. But they were talking about, you know, if Jamie and Claire are in their 80s.
Much older. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So watch the video, and you can see who they thought would be
interesting.
The good older Jamie and Claire. They also were asked, who would you like to see make a cameo and Outlander? And apparently Sam has a massive crush on the singer Dua Lipa, and he would like her in the series. so that's what's in there.
What character do you think she can play? Let's think through this.
I don't know. She's.
How about the warden at that woman's prison that that Claire ends up going to after she gets taken?
No. Susan Sarandon, yeah, not Dua Lipa.
Okay.
Let's see. Dua Lipa would have been good as the woman who kept inviting Jamie in for pie. Before he meets Bree. The temptress. So, then some of our cast members and others are doing some interesting fundraisers that you might want to contribute to. So, Coco, you had a good list. Who was on your list?
Well, so Duncan just reposted that if you get one of his cameos. And I think they're $120 that the proceeds go to the Ukraine refugees or to the Ukraine crisis.
Okay.
Stephen Cree had also set up his cameo to do the same thing. And I think his cameo is a little less. And Stephen Cree is also doing a different fundraiser for the International Animal Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to go tandem skydiving. And I know that his goal is 5,000 pounds to raise for that. He's more than halfway there. So, but that's his goal. He's going to go tandem skydiving in May.
Interesting.
And so that's all that I've seen so far, except that also the event, the hybrid event that we're going to in 11 days in Arizona,
right,
is also a fundraiser. So if anybody is interested in hearing Diana's talk on March 26th, it's in Flagstaff, Arizona at 2:00 Pacific time. I have to remember, Arizona does not change time zone. So we're on the same time zone now. And those tickets are $25 plus fees on Eventbrite. And she did post it on her own Facebook page. So if anyone's interested in listening to that, then it's on her Facebook page. It's a Highland Tea with Diana Gabaldon. 100% of the proceeds go to the Northern Arizona Celtic Heritage Society. So, and I think that's it for fundraisers that I know of offhand.
Okay.
Do you know of any more?
Lauren had been doing a cameo, but I believe yesterday was her last day to do the cameos to benefit the Ukraine. She's really busy right now. But I like the fact that all of the, there's a lot of cast members that were doing that for a period of time and donating that money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Stephen Cree's, the skydive one. He's 2/3 of the way to his goal. So
good.
Very good.
So any amount there. And I think that's it. But, yes, I think it's great that everybody is doing that.
Very good.
So.
Are any of our other – any cast members doing anything that we haven't talked about yet? Any new movies that we talked about that we haven't talked about? I know we still haven't – don't have a release date for Sam's movie with – Priyanka, and we're waiting on that. There was a picture of Duncan that I kind of passed over because I was trying to get here, but it said something about President, and his hair was short and slicked back. Anybody know what that is?
said he was slicked up for a taping.
Okay.
Self-tape, or it was an in-person.
Interesting.
For a president.
It's for an audition,
he
yeah.
He didn't think anybody would vote for him. And that would be right before the video he posted of the app that shows how he would look with Botox. That was just 50 shades of wrong. If you want a good laugh, anybody, go look at Duncan's Instagram. Yeah. So, I think events, well, the Highlanders 5, which Samantha and I have been to 1, 2, 3, and 4, and we've been patiently waiting. So who has announced for that this week, Samantha, or last weekend?
Sam Heughan.
Mm.
Yes. Which I'm really excited about because I'm yet to get a picture with Sam and David because they haven't been at the same events at the same time. So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Well, I did buy that duo as well.
Yeah.
However, I do have a picture with Sam, Duncan, and David in front of an elevator. So.
Oh, well, that's different. Yeah, I haven't. I wasn't there.
But so, yeah, that's pretty exciting. And I saw that Sean Harry posted 60% of the tickets were sold out for Star Fury. So if you want to go to that, it's actually a really fun, larger single fandom event. It's in Glasgow. It is 4th of July weekend for us Yanks, but it's bound to be a good time. And
I just think it's ironic that we're going to be in the UK for 4th of July. Think about that.
No, I thought about that too.
Better than some of our politicians who were in Russia for 4th of July.
I was messaging with Andy the Highlander today.
Uh-huh.
Because is it Clan Paca? Is that his band? He and Gilabrigia are putting on an event the night before the beginning of Highlanders.
Wow.
In Glasgow. So we have tickets to it, and I was chatting with him, and he says it's going to be a great time. So, and I think that's only 20, 25 pounds. It's really inexpensive. It's right in Glasgow. It's the Thursday night before Highlanders starts.
Huh.
So. And we actually have the advantage of we will also get to see Andy the Highlander at the Gathering on the Ridge in July.
In North Carolina, yeah.
North Carolina. He'll be there. In fact, Samantha and I both are in his kilt assembly and weapons play class. So.
Well, now that my July has opened up, those of you who don't know, I have a son, a daughter-in-law, and two babies, grandsons we haven't met yet who live in New Zealand. And we were thinking we'd be going over in July as soon as they open, but they're opening May 1st. So,
well, congratulations. I'm excited
Yay.
For you.
Thanks. So my July just opened up, but I still don't think I can go. So might have to figure that out, though. It sounds like a lot of fun.
And there is somebody else and a singer in the Outlander cast who will likely be in the United States in my neck of the world in Seattle and doing some house concerts. So when I have more info on that, let
Ooh.
You know. That's probably in May.
Okay.
So.
Well, won't be able to come if it's in May.
Yeah.
Okay, so the big news this week was episode 2 for season 6. A lot happened in this episode, but it wasn't a huge episode. It wasn't, you know, keep you on the edge of your seat, something horribly dramatic happening. It wasn't that episode, you know, but I thought it was one of the best I've seen. Because it was faithful, and not that things have to be faithful to the book. I'm not going to say that. But faithful to the story. The fact that we got a lot of things from the books is fantastic.
Yep.
In fact, I had to go look and make sure that Diana hadn't written it, but and she didn't. But we got a lot of things that moved the story forward and that book readers recognized and that put our characters in interesting light. And in my review this week, I talked about the different allegiances, since that was the name of the episode, was allegiance. So you can have an allegiance to your country, to your spouse, to your family. And in this case, the episode also had an allegiance to Outlander, you know, to the original story of Outlander, by keeping a lot of things in that I'm sure they were aware that there were fan anticipated events. One of those was Major McDonald and his issues with ADSO. You know, and I can imagine it would be hard to get a cat to, on command, rip up a wig. So he still had his issues, but he was allergic to ADSO. And so that was near and dear to my heart, but as a major cat allergy sufferer myself.
I would add that there were allegiances to the departed as well.
Yes.
With Ian and his child.
Yes.
And even the tenuous relationship that Tom Christie had with his former wife and relating it to the daughter.
That was we saw allegiances fractured in that relationship of Tom and Ellen and Melva. You know, none of them seemed to have an allegiance to each other.
That's true.
I thought that was interesting. You know, we always chat before we go on air, and all of us we just loved Jessica Reynolds as Melva. The look she gave Tom when he couldn't beat her because of that hand. You know,
she's going to be really good. I can't wait to see her for the rest of the season. She's going to be so good.
I agree, 100%.
There's one Melva scene coming up. I've seen through episode 4. There's one Melva scene, and it's fleeting and it's quick. But when you see it, you will scream. It was something. It was like, oh my God. So that'll be fun. But yeah, she's terrific. She's absolutely terrific. So what were some things that you guys really liked or wanted to comment about?
So
Sam was the first.
Absolutely. I am so proud of Lauren. She has been waiting for a birth scene through 4 children. She says, I haven't had a sex scene or a birth scene. Well, here you go. One episode. But I thought
she did
so good. And even just her talk with Claire ahead of time and I just thought she nailed it. She had all the emotions of the fear of childbirth and the frustration with a husband who was drinking and wasn't around. And I just really thought she nailed it this week. I really did.
She had some lines that absolutely had me in tears. When Fergus finally comes in the room, he says, how are you? And she says, better now that you're here. Everything is forgiven. You're here. You're with me. You're all I need. You know, that's what her tone said. And that was fabulous. And then
I think she actually said that too.
Yes. When she was asking for ink and paper so she could write to her mother.
Yep.
So she was great. And Coco, what did you want to mention?
Well, the one line I liked the most was when she answered Claire about the baby, the best place for the baby was out of her womb.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And being a person who a number of years ago actually called her doctor and said, I don't want to be pregnant anymore, get the baby out, I just couldn't relate to that. I did. They said, okay, so it really doesn't work that way. Point noted. So I can totally relate. But actually, so when we met Fergus, or I'm sorry, Cesar, was that in 2017 or was that 18?
17.
No, it was 17, right. When we first met him, we were talking to him at his very first fan event, and he did say that one of the auditions was his conversation with Claire. So I'm obviously we've seen the beginning of that when mm-hmm. he tells Claire the baby's a dwarf. And
right.
we see all the emotions through his face and everything. And it just was, I mean, when you're talking to somebody about it 4.5 years ago, about their audition tape, and then seeing the prelude to that on the screen, it was really great. I think he did an awesome job in being, you know, the tipsy, expectant parent. And then relating his time in the brothel with the scene that Samantha mentioned. But they actually referenced that he apparently did that too with Joni. So, which I never got from the books, but it happened. Mm. He did. But, I think he really nailed all of it. The gamut of emotions in the condition he was in, the emotional state he was in, and everything, and now you're presented with a baby who has challenges.
Right.
And I can't wait because they've shown some of the clips for next week and looking forward to that.
Yes. Yes. You could, as Roger is telling him, get up and be the man she fell in love with, be
yes.
the man you promised her you'd be. You could
yep.
see him drawing himself together. And, you know, it was almost like the only way I can really describe it is if you smash apart a piece that's built of Legos and they all go 7 million directions, if you put that in reverse, if you watched a tape of that in reverse where all of the pieces come flying together, that was Fergus in that moment.
Yep.
And he couldn't hold it together for very long once something else interrupted the calm he had found. You know, as he couldn't manage the fact of Henri Christian being a dwarf, but he held it together for a while, you know, when she needed him the most. So
maybe with a couple of pep talks again from other people next season or next episode, he'll be back on the right track, you know.
We'll
only
see.
Hoping.
We'll
I know
see.
You can't say. And
yeah.
can we talk about that pep talk? At least Roger is finally getting some decent writing because he hadn't
yeah.
been a very strong or well-written character up till now. He's not the same Roger as in the books, and thank
no.
goodness somebody liked him these last two episodes because he's getting yeah. some good scenes.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting what I thought in watching him and having spent time fairly recently with him, and you too, Samantha, but it almost seems like he's got more of his Glasgow accent going on. He's supposed to be the educated man from Inverness, but just from hearing him speak, it just seems more... almost like his natural accent.
Hmm. Well, you know, one thing that I thought was interesting about that scene with Fergus too is that now Roger has pulled together two people because
right.
he's, I can't say he's the only one who could do it, but he's gone through that darkness.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone through the depths. You know, when he was, when they sold him to the Indians and he had that moment talking with the priest about, I don't think I'm going back. You know, and then he had a real battle within himself at the Stones. Do I go back? Do I love her? Do I love her enough to come back and not go back to the life where I'm safe and I know what that is? He knows exactly what they're going through. He knew what, he didn't know the circumstances that Ian was going through, but he knew that despair of, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't care what's going
on.
I don't want to be there. And so for Fergus, then, he's gone through it. He knows the anger and the self-loathing that comes mm-hmm. with that. And so he was able to be the one to pull him out of it. You know, he could be self-righteous and tell him, this
yep.
is not who you were supposed to be.
Just like Ian, too, could say, hey, your husband might be grieving, but he will be back. I know this because I've been there. You know, they've got so many of these storylines crossed. They've all walked a mile in each other's shoes, you know, for
right.
different reasons. Yeah.
Another thing yep. I thought that was interesting, too, is that in thinking of the family unit, Roger was not there for the birth of Jem. Jamie wasn't there for the birth. So many of them weren't, but
right.
Fergus and Marcelly have been there together for the birth
yeah.
of each one of the children. So that's actually something different that I noticed today in my rewatch.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Then there's one other scene. We had mentioned a little bit the interesting scene with the Indian girls in Jamie's bed. which, you know, they could have left that out. You know, again, there are scenes that you could pull out of the show. And, yeah, fans would notice, but it wouldn't affect the story of the show at all.
Right.
You know? So why do you include them? You include them because they show a different side of the character. You include them because they were in the original source material, you know. And so that was kind of a quick scene, but it was very interesting. And it was funny when Jamie's sitting up, Ian, there's
Ian?
A woman in my bed.
No, Uncle, there's two.
Well, and I thought of it more because that was the ultimate welcome and acceptance of Jamie into the Cherokee village.
Right.
That's what he was there for. So obviously Jamie Bear Killer was accepted into the village. So it was okay for the women then to go to him.
Right.
And then
right.
obviously the next part, when we see Chief Bird, there's animosity.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, we gave you a warm welcome, Chief Bird says to him.
Right.
There's one more scene that I'm not sure how in-depth we want to talk about this, but it did come up in some of the groups. The scene where Mr. Bug is leaving to take the goods to town and stopping at Jamie asks him to stop at Cross Creek at Jocasta's and give her some letters and look for some letters uh-huh. if she has any. If you don't know the book, I'm going to say if you haven't read the book, maybe this is the time to do it. But if you don't know the book, you might think that the most important thing was Lizzie flirting with Kezzy. But if you know the book, and combined with what Sarah Collier told you, Coco, when you asked her for three words to describe her character, and one of the words was secretive, and then you combine that with the opener for one of the season 5 episodes, where Jocasta and Hector are caught on the side of the road with the gold.
Right.
I think we've got the setup for the...
The Frenchman's Gold.
The Frenchman's Gold that we've all
plus
been wondering would it come up.
Exactly. Plus the seemingly throwaway line when Brianna tells Roger, Mrs. Bug is really good at hiding packages. Did you catch that?
Yes.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, I heard it, but it didn't register.
So it's like, okay, so she's good at hiding stuff. And
what did register was Lizzie purposely calling the twin by the wrong name.
And Fergus saying, Lizzie, it's always good to have two, right?
Right.
Did you hear him say that to her?
But
clearly Fergus knows what's happening.
And then right before they drive the cart off, well, I hope you're not the talkative one. Because she called him Kezi, and it was definitely
right.
Josiah. It was Joe. Because
yeah.
he could speak.
Yeah.
And actually, at the after party, we did talk to Paul, actually, for quite a while. And he said that he thinks that he did get Sam's old wig at last season. He said the bangs are gone. They're not coming back.
Man. Oh, man.
Yes, wig date. Sorry.
Well, oh boy. Okay, I think... We had one caller hanging out from the beginning, and I think she was calling in just to listen, and she just hung up. If you would like to call in and chat with us, our number is 929-477-3898. Caller who just hung up, if you want to send me a quick message on Facebook and just let me know that you just didn't...
It was on purpose.
that you didn't really want to talk to us, so... But, yeah, give us a call and tell us what you thought about episode 602-929-477-3898. So just a little bit of non-news while we're waiting to see if we get any calls. Many of you have ordered the Outlander board game from Tibbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, we still don't know anything about this. I feel really bad, and I wish I could tell you differently, and I know that Matthew Killeen, who is the creator of the game, is probably tearing his hair out, but a month ago, he said he was waiting for the games to be put on a ship from China.
Supply chain issues, yes.
Supply chain issues. So when we know something, when we know that it's arriving, we will send an email to everybody who pre-ordered. Rest assured, your cards have not been charged, and they will not be charged until we know that this is in our hands and that we will be mailing it out. But they were supposed to be in October.
Wow.
So.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. So this is all I can tell you about that. I wish I had more information.
Well, hopefully they're already on a ship because China just locked down 51 million more people this week.
Hey.
Yep.
Why is that?
Oh, we've got a caller. Let's see who is. Hi, you're on the air. Who is this tonight?
This is Kathy McQuiston.
Hi there.
Oh, hi,
how
Kat.
Are you?
Hi,
you
Kat.
Didn't think Coco. You didn't think Coco could mention Lizzie and the twins and me not call.
You weren't even listening to the radio. You just, like, your little radar went off and you went, I must talk.
Yeah, I sent a disturbance in the twin force.
There you go.
A couple of things. I think you're right. I have a whole set of memes showing why I think the twin in the wagon was Josiah, mainly mm-hmm. because he's got the fur-trimmed coat. And I think that's a really big identity to Josiah being the hunter. He's got the fur-lined coat. And in 601, when they show Kezi, he doesn't have the fur edge-lined coat. But I wanted to point out to people who forgot, it's not because he's talking and can hear that you know it's Josiah, because think back to Outlander Untold, the extra episode with Lizzie at the end of season 5. We got it on the discs. She thinks she's talking to Kezi, and she makes a comment about how wonderful it is that you know, Mistress Claire was able to help him, you know, that after the tonsillectomy and other stuff, Kesey did start talking and did get his hearing back, according to that little Outlander Untold.
Okay.
So I think that Josiah is parent trapping her. I think whichever twin walks up, whichever name she calls them, they're both going, yeah, yeah, that's me. I honestly, I think that's what's happening.
Interesting.
But I did really enjoy that. I enjoyed that Mr. Bug is finally getting to talk.
Mm-hmm.
It really bothered me last year that we had Mr. and Mrs. Bug, and Mrs. Bug basically only had that one episode where she got to say words. Mr. Bug never did. Not that he's talkative, but he just wasn't present. And so, like, I really enjoyed how it showed him he was sitting in front of the fire telling a story to one of the kids.
Jimmy, yeah.
Yeah, before the dinner. I thought that was a nice touch. And then the fact that he made that smart alecky comment about the talkative twin, I really enjoyed that. and then back, and so just to prove that I can talk about something besides Lizzie and the twins, I'm with you, Sam. I'm so happy with how they're showing Roger finally. Just because it's not that the story for me has to be the same in the book and the show, but I've always maintained that the internal characteristics of the characters, I can't think of another word, but the roles have to be at the core the same kind of people.
Right.
Maybe they do something a little bit different. Maybe they don't react the same way all the time, but the kind of people they are internally as characters needs to translate from the book to the show. And I think they didn't do that with Roger because they just didn't want to do those voiceovers. And the reason we know Claire so well is because she did the voiceovers.
Right.
And in the book, the reason we know Roger so well is because he was the first other narrator. Dragonfly and Amber, big chunks of it is from Roger's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And we never got that in the show. We only got to hear little snippets. And so I'm just really glad because, you know, I fell in love with Roger. And it's just kind of been a little heartbreaking to have so many people hate him so deeply from the show. I mean, I know a lot of book readers don't like him either because he's not Jamie, and they will never like any male that isn't Jamie. But I really, really am so happy that he's getting this opportunity and that Brianna is growing into herself as well. So that's it. That's all I have.
Yeah, Brianna, there was one thing that I had wanted to mention about the episode. I thought it was very interesting, and I've seen this in a couple of the groups. Why does she, and this is from the books too, so I was baffled by this in the books. Why does she create matches when she came all the way back from the future to warn her parents about dying in a house fire?
I know.
It just doesn't make any sense. So they didn't have any trouble. So it's not like she was solving a major problem because they were used to starting fires. And they even said, well, I haven't had any trouble starting a fire, putting one out maybe, but not starting one. So.
Yeah,
you know,
but
seems,
I bet she did.
Maybe.
I bet coming from.
She was expecting praise for something that they were already managing to do quite easily.
Right.
But I did like
sometimes
the way Roger stood up for
don't ever play this as a recording to her, but sometimes even Diana doesn't make sense.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
I did not say that. This is George Briner speaking. It was not Kathy McCluskey who said that. I don't want my Phantom card revoked. But yeah, that always kind of, I always thought that was weird myself. But on the other hand, I kind of like, I'm sorry, sometimes I watch Survivor and people can't make fire.
Right.
Modern people can't make fire. And so I think that's kind of what I thought about in this episode, that it's like, yeah, she would probably have a lot of trouble making fire because she hadn't been doing it her whole life. But yeah, I always do think that's kind of ironic.
Yes. Yeah. Interesting. Well, thank you for calling in and talking with us.
Sure.
Kat. Are you doing your Lizzie Zoom thing this Saturday?
Yes, we're doing it again this Saturday. It's same time, 3 Central, 1 Pacific. And the rest of the world, you need to double check the time zone converter because we've sprang, but the rest of the world hasn't. So a little off. But it went really well. We had a really good time and had some really interesting conversations that weren't all about Lizzie and the twins, believe it or not. I can talk about other things. So, yeah, I'll post it in the group again if that's okay.
That's great. Okay.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Good night. Good night. If you want to chat with us about 602-929-477-3898, we've got about 10 minutes, 20 minutes left. I'm sorry. I don't know how to add and subtract anymore. But yeah, give us a call. We would love to talk to you. So what else is going on? What are you guys doing these days? Sam, you're finally back from...
I am finally back from a 3-week whirlwind tour, but came back. I had my package. My Peak Challenge t-shirt was in the mail, so got that.
Very good.
I got my tequila.
Oh,
very
I haven't
good.
Gotten that yet. I did
oh,
order
really?
That. I haven't gotten that yet, no.
I haven't opened it yet, though.
Huh. Kevin took it on himself to clean out the entire refrigerator. Don't judge, on Sunday, and in the midst of pulling out all of the expired condiments and rinsing out the bottles and throwing them away, he came across a miniature bottle of one of the old Outlander wines.
Oh, yeah. When we had that wine
those?
Party at
yeah.
your house. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I decided to save the little bottle, and if I can get the label off, I might try flattening that in my kiln.
Thinking
I
you probably could have saved the wine. Well, the wine probably wasn't bad. Was it open?
I don't know. Well, it had been opened.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was a couple years ago.
But
all right.
Yeah. But I have a couple other small bottles. I have one when Kevin and I came to Tacoma and went out to dinner with you. You had a drink in the bar that came in a miniature bottle. I have that bottle. To flatten, and I have a
wow. That was a long time ago.
And stuff, so yeah, that was a couple of years ago. That was 2018, I think.
well, I yeah, have been. I've been knitting a scarf, an asymmetrical scarf, with what's called Mary Hawkins yarn, and it's going to be really cool. About an hour and a half ago, I had 2 needles, and I now only have 1. I don't know what happened to it. Seriously, I got up to cook my dinner, and the other one has disappeared.
That's funny.
But,
don't sit on it. Don't sit on it. That was
no.
Hurt.
I've already looked at my chair 4 times and taken off the blankets. I don't know what happened to it, but And when we saw Rosie Day, I did tell her it was in the works, so I'll be able to send that to her when it's finished.
Very good.
And, I'm waiting for my contractor to come in 2 days.
Oh.
To get
so what
that started.
Was this one just to give you estimates or to get started?
Well, there's two estimates. One is for the insurance and one is for what I really want to do.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, I hope that goes well.
I hope he shows up.
Yeah. And you went to see a movie this afternoon.
I did. Actually, it's kind of funny because Samantha and I tried to go see the play, and we were unsuccessful.
Oh, Cyrano?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes. And you would be so proud of me, even though it was a movie.
You didn't fall asleep?
It was a musical, and I didn't fall asleep.
Wow. You've grown.
But to be honest, I had never, you know, I read the synopsis. I had never, and I've heard the name, but I never knew what the story was about. So I'm just going to say, people have probably heard me say, I don't like musicals. Okay, there are. It can't. But it was a quasi-musical. Got to say, the singing was pretty bad. The songs were pretty bad. But it was still an interesting story. So it kept my attention, which was good. that and the popcorn. I had no idea what the story was. Apparently, there are different renditions. You can get it on demand, and that's what I saw when I got home. But if you're in London, and if it's still playing, James McAvoy is doing his production of Cyrano, and he was one of the headliner or the head honcho of Space Force.
Right.
If you can get a ticket, I'd say go.
Yeah, the people said that because of the popularity of the music, that's why the play was just not, there were no empty seats at all. So that's good.
We tried.
Okay.
And I was trying to figure out the time frame that it was, if it was prior to the French Revolution. Is that, do you know?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Let's see. Cyrano de Bergerac timeline.
Oh, it's 1600s. Okay,
1897.
So what?
17th century Paris, yep.
So late 1600s. Okay. Now, just from the verbiage that they were saying in the movie, I could tell that it was pre-French Revolution. So, but... Mm. I wouldn't say go with high expectations, but it was fun.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. We've got a couple of shows that are starting that people might enjoy. Call the Midwife starts back this Sunday.
Oh.
So that'll be a lot of fun. That's one of my favorites. And starting, let's see, we've had two episodes of Star Trek Picard, which season one blew me away, and season two is knocking me off my chair.
Oh, good.
So I know there are a lot of people who are Star Trek fans. Let's see. We've got Strange New Worlds, which is the next Star Trek spinoff, and that's starting May 5th. We've also had several episodes. I think we're nearing the end of Star Trek Discovery. The Rings prequel is starting September 2nd on Amazon.
Oh.
So that Bridgerton starts for season 2 on the 25th of this month. So that's coming up. So Bridgerton fans, that's coming up for you. Did either of you guys read a book called Station 11? I don't think this is really either of your preferred genres. No, it was a post-apocalyptic, but apparently that was a show on HBO Max, which I haven't seen yet. So that'll be interesting. My dad was looking for a new show, but the Downton Abbey movie comes out in May.
The second one, okay. Good.
Well, that's the semi-prequel current.
No, the Downton Abbey movie is actually, it's all going along in time.
But they're talking about her young days and how she got involved with that person who leaves her a gift.
Yeah, but I think that's like just the backstory of story B, you know, because story A is a film company wants to come and shoot a film at Downton Abbey. So I think story B is the villa that she was left. Yeah. But that should be a lot of fun.
I just saw a long preview for it today.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, you know, I don't think we're going to get another caller tonight. Anything else you want to talk about at 6:02 or what you're hoping to see in the rest of the upcoming season?
I'm looking forward to 6:03 and Cesar's big scene. I know that John's got a big scene coming up, I believe, in 6:04, so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
6:04 will totally be new to you.
Okay.
6:04 is a totally new, that's all I'm going to say about it, but it's a totally new addition to the story.
I'm pretty sure you said 4. You might have said 5, but I'm pretty sure you said 4.
No, it's 4.
Well,
it's 4.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'm excited that, I mean, we already know Sam and Katrina are phenomenal in their roles. They are the characters. They're excellent. I am very happy that as we're going along, that it's not just the Jamie and Claire show, that these other characters are not only having some screen time, but getting some good writing, some good scenes. Because there are some really good, I'm sorry, every single Christie, I think, is phenomenal. They're all doing such a good job.
Yes.
Can we talk about CGI for a minute?
Sure.
Okay.
So when we were in Paris, and honestly, I don't remember who it was, told us that the way you can tell that Katrina was CGI'd was when she's holding her hands, like she would kind of be holding her hands like they would be resting on a baby bump, but there's no baby bump there.
Uh-huh.
And we did see that when she was sweeping the porch. She was beforehand, she had her hands there, but there was nothing to rest her hands on.
Oh, interesting. They did.
Yeah, they CGI'd it out, but the way you can tell was that when she has her hands like that, it's like she's resting her hands on a baby bump.
Right, right.
But, and then in, you know, because I belong to a lot of groups and I see a lot, and there's a discussion that a lot of people think that Henri Christian is a real little person baby, but I think it's CGI. But I have
no idea.
Well,
it wouldn't be CGI. What it would be is they would use the same technique that Call the Midwife does. There is a whole line of hyper-realistic baby dolls made for screen.
Yes.
They're basically animatronic like Disney uses.
Right, okay.
So the faces can move, the hands can move. So that's not the same as CGI. It's not computer graphics. But it could be an artificial child because, you know, to try to find a brand new dwarf baby would be a difficult thing. I know Call the Midwife does use very young children. You know, they have a registry where if you're pregnant and you would be interested in letting the production put your baby on screen, but they also use these hyper-realistic dolls. So I would think that's much more likely.
Okay.
But that's
sounds
interesting.
About right.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I saw a lot of comments about Sin Eater, Sin Eater, Sin Eater, and actually I didn't remember anything, and it was in a lot of groups. Oh, we're so glad to see the Sin Eater. Now, to be honest, I thought it was somebody with Chief Bird, but then I watched it again today, and it's like, oh, that's who Sin Eater is. Okay, got it. So,
again, there was a conversation before we went on the air. In my review, which you can read at 3fbyspace.net, I did type out the Sin Eater passage from A Breath of Snow and Ashes, and that one had a lot more description of the man and of what he came to do, and of a moment of strange connection that Claire felt looking at him and wondering if they were related somehow, if they were related maybe through the time traveler genes or common ancestors or something. And while I appreciated the scene for what it was, I didn't feel like it did the original text justice. So, but that was interesting. It was good to see Roger take charge and, you know, again, how you were talking about that he's getting some good writing and getting his character development a lot more. So,
yeah. He's really finding his footing on the ridge.
Yeah. So figuring out who he is and where he wants to be and who he wants to be. So that's a good thing. So if you're going to call in, this is your last chance, 929-477-3898. But if not, we're going to head off and have ourselves the rest of our evenings. One thing I'd like to bring up to anybody listening to this, and please just drop me a note either on Facebook or Twitter and tell me what you think. We've been having some discussions among ourselves about the viability of this program and how we wanted to continue and if we wanted to continue. And one of the things we're talking about is possibly finding some way to make it a video rather than just an audio production. And a couple people, including Sam and Coco, have suggested that we do it as an Instagram Live, which is not something I have ever done before. What do you think? What do you think? Do you like just listening to the radio? Would you like to see our faces? Would you like to have the chance to have your face on an Instagram Live or on another platform? Just drop me a note and let me know what you think. I don't know whether we will make changes for this season. We have next week and then the week after that I will be off, but Sam will be taking the reins and leading the show. And then after that, we only have a couple more, as there's only 8 episodes of the season. But hopefully, at least by the time the new season of Men in Kilts comes on, we can figure out what we're doing and make some changes. Because we would like to reach more of you than we do. And we're not quite sure in what format that should be. So is that about what we've been discussing?
Sure.
I would say yes. Sounds
all
good.
All right. Well, then, ladies, I think we're going to call it a night. So,
alrighty then.
Don't forget, you can come back and at this same link, you can listen to all of our other past episodes. And you can listen to John Baker's Beyond the Rim, which is a sci-fi wrap-up program. But thank you very much, Sam and Coco, for joining me tonight and talking about 602. It's been
thank
a
you.
Lot of fun. Thanks. Take care, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.